Stuff to say. Luke chapter 2, enough of the foolishness, right? I mean, dear Lord. Let's look at verse 25. Luke 2, 25. And we'll read down to verse 35. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I really like this because most Baptists just get tore up about it. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And they just, for some reason, like talking about the Holy Spirit. I got enough Leroy Dalrymple about me where I just love bringing out that name, the Holy Ghost. Amen. I like it. Amen. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. But I tell you one thing, my old pastor used to have that stuff right, man, that Holy Ghost business. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, and did y'all hear where they're trying to pass laws where you can't even circumcise your children if you choose to do so? Y'all heard that kind of stuff. They're now telling you that they're trying to pass a law that as a parent, if you want to circumcise your children, you can't. I don't know why they want to get in all that. You know, maybe because they're so warped and perverted. Maybe they just want to, you know.
They hate Jews.
Huh?
They hate Jews.
Yeah. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph, notice the wording, not his daddy, but a Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's something. Goodness gracious. Mama, you see that last sentence in verse 35 in your Bible, how it ain't a space between any of those words. It's all just ran together. I want my money back. Look at verse 32, that's the one that I'm very interested in. The Bible says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 32 says, he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. Isn't that a blessing? I know you've heard it before, but I came to tell you today, one more time, just one more time. Because the Bible says there's new thing under the sun. I don't want to preach nothing new to you. Amen. I want to get a hold of what we already got. But I came to tell you today that Jesus is the light. Okay? When you see light in that Bible, Jesus, thank God, is that light. Hallelujah. I came to tell you today, I know you already know it. And I know you've heard it thousands of times. But I came to tell you one more time that Jesus Christ is the light. Amen. He's the light. Amen. If you will, go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. We'll see the beginning of that light. Genesis chapter 1:1. We might go through some scriptures today. Genesis 1:1 through 5, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Why was there darkness? Why was there darkness that covered the earth? Simple answer is because there was no light. Darkness is the absence of light. You take the light away and all you have is dark. But the Bible says that sin causes darkness. And if you ever want to turn God's light off, all you have to do is just continue to practice sin. I tell you, one of the best ways to get rid of God in your life is to put sin on the pedestal, or put sin first in your heart, or put sin to practice in your life, and God will gladly depart. Because sin will turn out the lights in your life, right? Well, we already looked a long time ago, several months ago, at the first sin, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't created in the Garden of Eden. When we traced sin down, we realized that sin was originated in heaven in the heart of Lucifer when his heart was filled with pride. And he said, I'll be like the Most High God. And that's like the Sunday school teacher was talking this morning. The reason he's going to sit on that throne is because he prophesied and promised that he'll be like the Most High God, that he's going to sit on that throne and he's going to sit and be as the Most High God. We already realized that the first sin originated in heaven with Lucifer and the fallen angels. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why the earth was covered in darkness, because God drop kicked that sucker out of heaven like lightning falling out of the sky. And they took over planet earth. They inhabited earth, and Jesus wasn't here. And so therefore, all you had was that curse that was on this earth, that sin, that darkness, that blackness of night. I'm talking about zero light. I ain't talking about a star speckling in the sky. I ain't talking about a reflection of the sun, of the create a moon. I'm talking about utter darkness, zero light, friend. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. The Bible says darkness covered the earth. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was over 400 years of darkness. There was over 400 years between the last book of the Old Testament and Matthew chapter 1, thank God, where the Bible tells us about a little virgin girl, hallelujah, that had the light of God to shine out of him, where the Spirit of God moved upon her. You understand? And God said, you're going to bring light into this world through that womb. That's right. Darkness. God called light out of darkness. Spirit of God moved upon Mary, and thank God once again, after 400 plus years of darkness, there was light. Ain't that a blessing? And God said, let there be light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says. 1 Thessalonians says something like this to those that are born again. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. You know why? Because Jesus, thank God, has stepped into my life. I'm telling you, I was once in darkness. I was once a child of the night. But thank God, Jesus stepped into my heart. You know what happens when a sinner gets saved? They're in darkness. God steps into their dark world and says, let there be light. And thank God, for the first time in their life, they can see things they never saw because there's light. Now, sinners are in such darkness that we can make a statement like that and completely miss what was just said. I want to look at some of the things that I just said. I meet and even hear folks often that have understanding problems. And you know why people have understanding problems? You know why people misconstrue so many things? Because they're in darkness.
The reason people have so many issues with understanding, or man, I misunderstood, or they may not even understand that they understood. You can just listen to them talk, and you know they didn't understand. They didn't get a grasp. And sometimes if you ain't careful, you even get frustrated because people are in such darkness, and they've heard enough of the truth that they ought to have some kind of understanding about them. But you have to come to the grips. So ladies and gentlemen, when you're in the dark, it's hard to understand. Sure. Darkness destroys understanding. Listen to what, I'll tell you what, let's just go to Isaiah chapter 42. I said we'll look at some scriptures. We'll take time and look at some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 5, Isaiah 42, 5 says this. Isaiah 42, 5 says, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth up breath unto the people upon it. Isn't that something? And spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. God said, here's what I'm going to do with Jesus. I'm going to give him to be a light for the Gentiles. Hallelujah. That's shouting stuff, man. What's he going to do? What's Jesus going to do when God gives him as a light for the Gentiles? What is Jesus going to do for people when they receive Jesus Christ? Look at what your Bible says. To open the blind eyes. Isn't that a blessing? Things you can't see. You know what you can't do in the dark? You can't see. To bring out of the prisoners, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Amen. You know where you was when God found you? I mean, yes, you was in the bottom of that horrible pit, but you was bound in sin's prison. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And Jesus, thank God, the light of the world, will bring you out of sin's prison. Right. You're not a prisoner to sin anymore. And them that sit in darkness, hallelujah. Watch this. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I tell you what darkness is. It's a prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. Hallelujah. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Did you hear that? You know how many people have an issue that Jesus Christ is God? I know it's 2019, correct? I get confused on the years. But you know how many people, Zach? There's quite a few people have an issue. I'm talking about church folk that confess that Jehovah Witness and all, they all have, Jesus ain't God. Jesus ain't God. Well, that verse tells us that he is. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Do you understand what God did? He gave his glory to Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God. So Jesus is God. Amen. He ain't going to give it to another. Him and Jesus, one and the same. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit too. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was made flesh, you understand? Dwelt among us, and we beheld God. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to publicly thank God for the light of God. You hear me? I just want to, man, I read through that book of Isaiah and some of these other passages.
I get to seeing where God brought me from. I get to thinking about that old dark prison that I was once bound in. I get to thinking about the light of the world entering into my heart and my soul. I get to thinking about Jesus bringing me out of that darkness. I get to thinking about Him busting them prison walls down and making me free. And I publicly want to thank God every once in a while that Jesus, the light of the world, has came into my heart, saved my soul, delivered me from sin, and made me free in Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Thank God for that.
Preacher, that's a little wild. Yeah, I know, but listen to this side of it. Could you imagine living without light?
We don't do that often. We take light for granted. We don't think of what it would be like. Well, I'd use a lantern. A lantern, ladies and gentlemen, is light.
I ain't talking about electricity. I'm talking about light. I ain't talking about them things. I'm talking about light. Any kind of light.
The stars give off light. Take them away. The moon gives off light. I mean, man, you can base some things on the outside at night based on the quarter moon and the half moon and the full moon. When it's a full moon, you can turn your headlights off on your car and make it pretty good down them familiar roads. Sure you can.
I tell you, you take away the sun and the moon and the stars. You take away all the electricity and all the lanterns. You take away and give us utter darkness, friend. And then you try to head down the road at 70 miles an hour and see how far you can make it without the light.
Right.
It's dangerous. Huh? Try. Please don't take me at my word, but just imagine this. Imagine on a pitch dark night when it's cloudy outside and no light is shining. Turn your lights off. Think about turning your lights off, going down especially an unfamiliar road, because this life is unfamiliar. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming this afternoon. You don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. But I tell you, man, try to turn the lights off and live this world, live this life and this whole world without the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what you sinners are doing. You're living in the dark, friend. And it's a dangerous thing. And it's going to get you far it's over with.
I promise you, if you don't get to the light, you're going to have a wreck. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be the utter destruction of your soul if you don't get to the light.
Huh? I don't know about you, but I would hate to have to live without light. I don't like fumbling around in the dark. Hey, listen, you know how many toes I've smashed on the bedpost because the lights were out? You know? I mean, man, bad stuff happens in the dark. Could you imagine everybody turning their lights out while you're going, everybody turning their lights out while you're going down the interstate? You imagine how far you might get before you end up in a wreck or in a hospital or even worse, in a graveyard? You wouldn't make it far. You wouldn't make it far in life. Can I remind you that you're on a highway to hell without Jesus Christ? And I promise you, you're not going to make it far. Preacher, I'm so and so years old, and I may live to be 75, I may live to be 100, but let me tell you something, this life ain't nothing but a vapor. It's here 1 minute, it's gone the next. 70 years have passed by in the blink of an eye. And I tell you, eternity is from now on. It's for all eternity. It never stops. It never shall end. And I tell you, man, if you die in this old world without Jesus Christ, if you die in that darkness, you're going to spend all eternity in the bottom of that horrible pit. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. My dear God. One of the most familiar nightmares in the world is for people to fall. Huh? I mean, you can talk to people about having nightmares. One of the most familiar nightmares there is people falling off of cliffs and stuff like that. And you know what it's going to be like, Miss Stephanie? People's going to die and go to hell, and they're going to fall for all eternity. They're going to lose gravity, and friend, they're just going to be suspended there in air and never reach bottom. It's going to be a living nightmare that never will end. But yet, it's not going to be even a nightmare. It's going to be reality. It's going to really happen. Dying in the darkness. I'm saying living without Jesus is much, much worse. Listen to me real good.
I don't know if you can grasp it, but I pray to God that you can understand my simple illustrations or mindset. But living without Jesus Christ is much, much worse than going out there on that road on a pitch black night and heading down that road at 70 miles an hour with 100 other people around you going in all different directions. What you're doing without God is much more dangerous for your eternity. A lot more dangerous. My God, I'd rather end up in a hospital any day than end up in hell. I don't know anybody in their right mind who wants to do anything like that, get out there on that road. Huh? Think about it. Would you dare get out there on a cloudy night with it raining and you can't see 2 inches in front of your face? Would you dare turn your lights out? I don't know anybody that stupid. I mean, man, we can pass somebody in town with the street lights and we notice they ain't got the lights on. Everybody starts freaking out, huh? I mean, people start flashing their lights. They're just trying to let them know, man, you ain't got your lights on. I'm telling you, friend, nobody in their right mind is stupid enough to run down the highway wide open and turn their lights off at night. Why in the name of God are we so stupid that we'll live this whole life with the lights out on Jesus Christ, huh? Why would we do that? Because the devil has I know why, I'm not even going to start yet. The devil's bamboozled us. I tell you, man, we're so deluded already, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know why people are lost and don't give a flip? Because they don't even really believe they're lost. There ain't a person that's under real good. They ain't a person ever come to grips with really being lost. Son, that can stand there and take that 5 seconds. If you really realize what being lost means, you'll scream your way to God. I believe, friend, you'll quit him hauling up. We just, for some reason, believe we're still going to be all right. You can argue with me, but you're going to be wrong. Living this life without God, ladies and gentlemen, you tell me. It's pure crazy. Living this life without Jesus Christ, you're crazy. You have to be about half touched in the head, son, not to want Jesus Christ. Preacher, that's rough. That ain't nearly as rough as it ought to be. I'm telling you, man. Michael, did y'all listen to Charles Spurgeon's message this week on a call to sinners? I mean, dear God, man. I mean, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm as saved as God. That message tore me out of my frame, son. The one me and you listen to. That's tough. Tough. Guilty before God. What happens in the dark? I'm just talking about the darkness for a minute. Because it's the opposite of the light. That's what sinners are. They're living in darkness. When a person's in the dark, listen to me, their imagination runs wild. Yeah. Yeah. You start imagining things in the dark that you won't imagine in the light. Yeah, all that stuff going on because you can't see. And you get the heebie-jeebies and you start imagining things. Huh? Hey, let me ask you girls something. How come it's always when somebody's trying to get some sleep and their dog tired, woo out, done worked all day? How come when the lights go out at night and it's time to get some shut eye, these girls is always hearing somebody trying to break in the house, huh? Why don't you never hear nobody in the daylight when we're at work and they, you know, we ain't trying? I mean, I know I'm being about half silly, but you know how many times my wife has woke me up out of a dead sleep? Somebody's trying to break in, and my stupid behind gets up with a .44 and chases them around the house. I mean, a man, what are you doing? I'm chasing this imaginary ghost, man. I'm going to get him, you watch. I got a sister-in-law. I wouldn't shoot the ghost. I believe I'd shoot her. I got a sister-in-law that, not Miss Holly. Miss Holly's my favorite sister-in-law. This one's far from my favorite sister-in-law. She goes to bed at night, and I don't believe in beating a woman, but I believe I beat her. And she'll wake up in the middle of the night with all the lights off. It'll be pitch dark. She'll be screaming at her husband, "Oh, my God, get up. Somebody's at the house. They're standing there at the foot of the bed. Oh, my God, get them. They're at the bed. Get them."
Man, I'm telling you, my wife did that to me. Knocking something out, you hear me?
Shut your mouth. Don't do me like that while I'm asleep. Wake me up out of a dead sleep.
You say, what is that? That's the dark. See, she's imagining. That's not real.
She's imagining in the dark somebody's over there at the foot of the bed. Done broke in the house. How many times I chased somebody around the house with a gun? No boogeyman there. It's just an imagination. I don't do that stuff in the daylight.
I'll tell y'all something. Let me give you a little hint. Coons come out at night. And I'm talking about the real four-legged coons.
Eric, don't get excited.
You ain't never going to get to live that down. You ain't even started. We did.
I'm talking about them four-legged coons.
They come out at night. Them critters, they come out at night.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot more coyotes at night than they is in the daylight. You understand? And they make noises. Them coons will come over and they'll take the trash can lid off your trash can. Literally. They can sit up there and eat like a little human being. I mean, they're so cute, I hate to even kill them. But then I get over the cuteness and think, you little rodent, you, we're going to shoot you now. And we had one when we was a kid. And it would come up and eat them little, hey, that's what them wafers is good for. Y'all know them wafers at the stupid places, Doc Gary O. They put on your banana split. They ruin a whole banana split with them little wafer thing, them vanilla wafer cookies. Ain't worth it. Got that little ice in them. Mama probably loves them because she likes gross stuff. And then, but that coon would come and eat them things out of your hand. It was a blessed day in my life when we got to shoot that coon out of the top of the telephone pole. Amen. I'm sorry, Raven. I love you. I say that stuff for you, honey. She likes them animals, and she ought to like them animals. But them animals are good eating, Raven. They all taste like chicken. I'm telling you. What was it this week I was talking about eating? And somebody said, what was I talking about eating? They said it tastes like, what was I talking about? I can't remember. It tastes like frog legs. Y'all ever eat frog legs? Y'all know what you're missing. You know what you're missing? Ain't nothing. Oh, it's better than chicken. You need to go swimming one day and build up that good swimming appetite. And go down to the river and swim a little bit and come out and let your mama have you some fried frog legs over there. Praise the Lord, son. Hell, your mouth will have a revival. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Man. And in the morning when you get up, you can take them old pig brains and throw them in your scrambled eggs and eat brains and eggs for breakfast. Glory to God, you eat the whole hog. Well, that has nothing to do with the light. But I'm talking about your imagination likes to run wild in the dark. Huh? You begin to imagine. Listen to me, you imagine things that ain't even so. I ain't never heard such foolishness come out of anybody as I have those that are lost. And outside of God, some of the stupid stuff that they come up with, their imagination is running wild. They come up with all kind of stupid stuff. Isn't it amazing what sinners can come up with? Ladies, do us a favor. I told my wife one time, I said, honey, if there's a burglar coming in, more than likely he's going to be quiet and you ain't going to hear him. Or he's just going to storm in. He's going to be on top of us before we can do anything about it. She said, don't even wake me up. Just let me be. Let me sleep. Let him. Hey, look, man. I told her one time, our house is in such disarray. I told her, it sort of reminds me of a friend's house. And I said, honey, the good thing about a messy house, when a burglar comes in, they look and grab and go, somebody beat us to it. So, they done beat us to it. And they just turn around and walk out and all your stuff's still there. Amen. Lord have mercy. You felt the glory on that, didn't you?
Woo.
Oh, okay. Preach, that's silly. I know it is. But let me be serious. Can you see off of some of this goofy stuff I'm saying why marriages suffer for 30, 40, and 50 years? Because when people's in the dark, their imagination runs wild. When you got a spouse, one or both, that are living in the dark, they never do stop imagining things about the other person. They make stuff up. about one another.
That ain't even so. You say, why? Because their imagination is running wild. I'm telling you right now, Savior lost. The devil don't like a home intact, friend. The devil do everything in his power to destroy your home. I don't care if you're saved or lost. I think he wants to destroy everything. He is the destroyer. He came not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If he can destroy your home, friend, he'll do it whether you're in the light or whether you're in the dark. And I tell you, I think I've seen enough marriages suffer because one or more individuals was in the dark. And they're always coming up with some kind of junk that ain't even real. Our homes are suffering because of it. That's why I wouldn't even bring it up. Why folks fuss for 50 years. And listen, they still fuss about stuff that they was fussing about 50 years ago. You say, why? Because they're in the dark. The same stuff. I mean, hey man, how about let's get past something? You know, let's do what old brother Sammy said. Let's bury the hatchet and the handle. Huh? I'm telling you, friend, we were to do something to get rid of that stuff and let that stuff, let them bygones be bygones. I mean, that's exactly what they are. Quit running over there pulling up that old stuff. You know why people pull up yesteryears? You know why people go back to yesterdays? Because they're in the dark. It's right. People living in the light don't do that kind of stuff. Don't do that. Somebody's in the dark. When you're in the dark, listen, when you're in the dark, you can hear things. Right. You ever noticed that blind people are very sensitive in other areas? I mean, you know, that's not no secret. Man, they have a real sense of hearing. They have a real sense of feel. They can't see. They're in utter darkness. Man, it's just total blackness. So they had to depend on other senses. When you're in the dark, ladies and gentlemen, you hear things that ain't even going on. You can tell what's happening around you. You know things is going on around you. Listen, you know you're in church. You know there's other people here. You know that we're having preaching and we sung some songs. But you know what's sad about it? You still ain't getting it. All you're doing is hearing things and you ain't getting it. You can hear in the dark. But the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And I tell you what you're going to have. You're going to have some light, friend. God's going to have to reveal this stuff to you. Flesh and blood can't reveal it to you, but the Father which is in heaven is going to have to reveal that light to you. You can hear this stuff, but you can't make heads or tails of it. I mean, dear Lord, it's a lot like what's going on in the world today. I hear it, but I can't make heads or tails of it because it's the dark. And I'm over there in the light. The same way with the darkness. There's no understanding what I'm trying to tell you. Did you hear me? You can hear it, but there's no understanding. People that's in the dark don't have a good understanding of what's being said. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Sunday school teacher was talking about, and the text was talking about, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Holy Ghost don't do it, it ain't going to get done. I can preach. I could be the best preacher, the worst preacher, the mediocrest preacher. It doesn't matter. I'm not the important part. What is important, though, is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God taking that Word and doing a work in your heart, because with the heart man believeth. And God will just use a little old idiot like me to be able to preach His Word and take the Holy Ghost and do a work. Hey, listen, it ain't about us. It ain't about the preacher. I know, Lord God, I'm telling you, the Lord has brought this up to me over and over. Listen to me real good, please. Brother Sammy used to say it when I was a kid. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about, but now I know too well. Some matches can only strike on their box. Some people can only get emotional when their favorite preacher is a preaching. Hey, listen, there ain't a kid of mine that can't come to this congregation. There ain't not one that I don't know them well enough to know, Miss Holly, what strings to pull. I know every one of them. I know exactly how to pull Jacob's strings. I know exactly what strings to pull on Matthew. God forbid that I play them games with my children. God forbid that my children can only respond when I preach to them. You hear me?
God forbid, I would to God 10,000 times that a man of God would heal them up somewhere where they're at. Now they preach the devil out of them, friend. And them fall in the old town Holy Ghost. God sent conviction that there'd be a real conversion. Amen. It don't have to be their favorite preacher. It don't have to be their daddy pulling their strings. Amen. Of God, let it be the word of God, the light of God doing a work of grace into their life. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, what we need is the Holy Ghost of God to touch our hearts and to speak to our hearts. I don't care if it comes out the rear end of a jackass, friend. If God sent it, we're to take that and use that for His glory. Right. Me, as I sit down, let me throw this commercial break in there that you're going to think, man, he's crazy. For years, I've been out there in Nebraska, South Dakota, pheasant hunting, and I didn't know it, Michael. And this thing just dawned on me the other day because where we're at in America. Hey, listen, you know they've been taxing that farmer out there. They've been trying to tax them farmers out there, run them 100, 200 head of cows for them cows farting. Yeah, they're trying to tax them. They're trying to tax them to death. Because cows fart. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they're trying to punish them, but what they're trying to do is go away with slaughtering them cows. That's right. Can I tell you what farts more than a cow? A dog. A dog. A stupid dog. And a Labrador is one of the worst. Amen. One of the worst. And hey, you say, preacher, why would you? Listen, because we're so far in the dark, baby girl, that we're not eating dogs. We're eating cows. And they're attacking those things, friend. Yeah. They're attacking that old cow farmer. Mm-hmm. They're not attacking the dog owners. Because you ain't going to eat that. Man, I tell you, that's amazing how far. That's amazing what the darkness will do to people. Now you say, man, that's foolishness. But that's where we're at. It's amazing. Oh, it'd be nice if we would all go out here and get us a handful of them greens and just cook them. I'm going to tell you something. I want some meat on my plate. Hey, man, I want some meat. Hey, man, mama fixed me some soup the other day, and I said, well, where's the meat? I got to have some meat. Onions is good, but mama put some meat. Give me some fat back or something on the side. Hey, man, it's good stuff, mama. Thank you. Mama, when you're in the dark, you can hear things, but you can't understand it. Huh? It's important to come to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. It's important coming to Him. I'm a hurry. Sinners are in the dark. Listen, they're destroying themselves because they don't even understand. I said a while ago, you know how many times I've smashed my toe because of the dark? Fumbling around, stumbling around in the dark. That's what sinners are doing. They're destroying themselves little by little. And they don't even know it. Isn't it amazing? Little by little, lost people are being destroyed and don't even realize it because they're so in the dark. I'd like to ask your husband something today, and please give me a few minutes. I want to say some other things about the darkness and the light, but I'll pick it up maybe after lunch. Eric's a husband. So I'm going to wait on Eric. The dark. The old songwriter wrote that old song, just getting used to the dark. And I remember Brother Mac Phillips down there in Amy, Mississippi, preached on getting used to the dark. And man, we're so used to things in the dark that we don't even think anything's abnormal. It's amazing at what we've accepted today. It's amazing what we've accepted today for good and right. And it's not right at all. It's just that we're so used to the dark that we don't even see anything wrong with stuff that's going on anymore. You know, I made that statement a couple of weeks ago. Wasn't it amazing that all that abortion got everybody in an uproar for about 2 weeks? And nobody's uproaring anymore. Nobody's fighting. But yet, instead, now we just let that stupid woman up there in New York just talk all she wants to and people give her attention. I don't even want to hear that stupid thing. I don't even want to hear it.
It's nothing but a bunch of dark, filthy, nasty, ungodly junk coming out of her. I don't waste my time. You hear me? I don't waste my time with that heathen. I don't waste my time with that. Man, meet her on the street and tell her she's going to die and go to hell without God. That's about all I got for her. Must be born again, woman. Dear God. Hey, you husbands, let me ask you a question. And I ain't being ugly. I'm just asking you an honest question. I want you to think. Do you realize how bad off your wife is? Do you know how much darkness your wife is living in? I need the husbands of this congregation to realize how dark, what a dark place your spouse is in. I need you husbands to understand just how dark it is in the heart of your own spouse. What about you wives? Do you wives have a clue of how dark it is in your husband's heart? It's a good question to ponder. Because we're going to hell together, or we're sending each other to hell, or whatever it might be. But we need to understand where each other is, because I believe in household salvation. And here's what I believe, Michael. I believe it starts with that man at home. There's biblical illustrations of that man getting saved and that household following. But I think we need to understand just how dark it is in our spouse's life and in that world. Because a lot of times you'll never get no help. You understand? It's important that we understand this, because they'll never get the help they need until we understand where they're at. And I think that we all could sit and examine that. Mama and Daddy, let me ask you a question. Husband and wife, let me ask you a question. Do you understand how dark it is where your children are? Do you understand the darkness that your children are in? Some of them hadn't reached the age of accountability. Some of them have, and some of them couldn't care less about God. Some of them's not interested. I'm asking you as a mother and a daddy, do you have any idea of how dark it is in your child's world? Do you stop and think about the darkness that's overtaken them? Do you stop and think about the dangers of that darkness? Do you stop and think about what their mindset must be like? Do you stop and think about their imagination? Do you stop and think about the dangers that they're in? Do you ever stop and think about, man, my kid is headed for destruction? I want this congregation to think about those things. I confess to you, as a daddy, I wished I'd have spent more time examining my family, my children, and where they was with Jesus Christ. And I tried about that much to get my children to God. But I wasted so much time. So foolish, so inconsiderate. And now they're gone, and I go, my God, man, I don't have that influence anymore. I can't tell them, get up, we're going to church. And I don't have them in my living room in the evening to pray or share devotions or to talk to them about the things of God. They don't get to jump in my truck and go to work with me anymore and try to be some kind of an example out on the job. I don't have, all that's gone. And now I go, my God, man. The Lord lets me see that kind of stuff, because we've got a congregation of moms and dads with young children, and the Lord wants to send you something, man, to think about your spouse, think about your husband, think about your wife, think about your children. It's your family, friend. It's your family. I want you to understand this, that family, and I'll never back off from it, is the closest thing to heaven or hell that you'll ever have on this earth, one or the other. The closest thing to heaven or hell that you'll ever have on this earth. I know people that live in a living hell on earth because all they ever do is act like a bunch of female dogs. That's all they ever do. And then I know people that live in a little piece of heaven because mom and dad are walking in the spirit and they're raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Man, you just see it on their life. And thank God for the handful of people that you meet that has this thing right. And man, they're focused. And they got their eyes on Jesus. And they're pointing their children. And they take time. And they're considering one another.
Huh? Do you know how bad off each other is? Let me tell you something. If they don't get to the light, they're going to be destroyed. Mom, your children is going to go to hell if they don't get to the light. Dad, your family's going to hell if y'all don't get to the light. Maybe after lunch I'll tell you a thing or two about getting to that light. What most of us need to do, and I'm done, I promise you, I'm done with this. What most of us need to do, or probably all of us, every one of us could do it. Just sit down and shut up for a while. Make the kids sit down and shut up for a while. Turn the TV off, the television. That's what, turn that television off. Can I tell you something? The computers and the TVs and the telephones, they won't even enter into your life if you ever do get to Him. If you ever get a glimpse of Him, just like we did last Sunday, you know the last thing I ever even thought about doing, Michael, was looking at a phone or an internet or a TV. Amen, son, I tell you, for all the rest of that day, we just basked in the goodness of God. God was so good to us. Man, it was so good. Amen. We just need to take a good sit down and some time and look at our spouse and our children and see them in hell, because, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going without the light. That's where your family's going without the light. You need to sit down and think about that. You need to think about your children and your wife and your husband going to be in hell for all eternity. Man, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I do thank you for the light of God. I thank you, Lord, that you said, let there be light into my soul. And I'm glad, thank God, ever since that day, my soul has been lit up. I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word today. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to take time to consider these simple thoughts, these questions, Lord, these meditations. Lord, help us consider, dear God, where we're at with you. Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory for it, all the fruit of it. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. And I thank you, Lord, for those that's prepared it. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it to strengthen our bodies, that we may use our bodies to glorify you. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.